We need the help of the Lord tonight. I would like to give you a scripture in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3. Proverbs 15 and 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." I want to tell you a story about when I was a little boy. I was in school and I heard the children saying something that they shouldn't say. And I was repeating what I heard the children say. I was saying something that was bad. And as I was yelling this out on the ground where the children play, I looked at the fence and I saw an eye looking through at me. And that eye, there was something about that eye that put fear in my heart. It's like that eye was piercing right through me. That eye was a knowing eye that heard every word that I said. And I didn't think much more about it until I got home. And one of my older sisters spoke to me and said, "I heard what you said today." Oh, I felt ashamed. I felt fear in my heart. And she said, "You have to tell me you're never going to say it again." I didn't want to give her my promise. And she said, "All right, I'm going to tell Mom and Dad." "No, don't tell Mom and Dad." "Then you better promise you will never say it again." I didn't want to give her that promise. "Then I'm going to tell Mom and Dad." "No, don't tell Mom and Dad." And finally, I told her, "I will never say that again." Amen. I want to tell you, the eyes of the Lord are in every place tonight, beholding the good and the evil. People steal and they think nobody saw me. But I want to tell you, there's a great eye looking out over this world tonight. And He's watching all the evil that is taking place here on Roatan. He's watching the evil that people are doing at nighttime. He sees the people that are breaking in houses and stealing. He sees the people that are sitting out at the gambling tables and drinking and cursing. This great eye is looking and He's seeing all these sins that people are committing. He sees in the darkness. He sees people that are committing fornication. I want to tell you, God is looking this world over tonight. God is looking into the hearts of man. And He sees the evil imaginations of their hearts. And I want to ask you, how do you think this affects God? Let us read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart." When you sin, it affects God. God cares about what you're doing. And when He looks down and He sees the sins that you're committing, that grieves God in His heart. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. How does your sin affect God? Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." God is a holy God, and He does not accept evil. And when He sees evil, I want to tell you, that makes God angry. Let us read in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. This was a prophecy that great changes are coming. We expect the sun to come up every morning, don't we? We expect there to be a rainy season. We expect there to be hot and dry weather. We expect to look out there and see the sea every day, don't we? And we expect this island to stay right here where it is. But I want to tell you, things are going to change. Verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. The scripture says that every eye shall see him. When the Lord comes back, every eye shall see him. Every homosexual shall see him. Every thief shall see him. Every drug addict shall see him. Every murderer is going to look up and see the Lord is coming again. And that will be a day people will be crying. They're going to be hiding from the face of the Lord. John chapter 3 and verse 18. John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Do you wonder why people don't want to come to church service? Will you come to the revival tonight? Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I won't be there. I've been drinking all day. These are the things that I've been hearing since I've been on the island. You know why people don't want to come to the light? Because they love darkness. Because their deeds are evil. They don't want the light of God's Word to shine into their hearts and to expose the wrong that's in their lives. But I want to tell you tonight, the great eye of God is looking down on this world. And He's looking down on everyone that is sitting here tonight. And He sees in the heart of every sinner. And He sees every sin that you've committed. I want to tell you, God knows all about it. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Let us turn back to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. The kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Why would mighty men hide when the Lord comes back? Because someone far mightier than them is there. And because he is angry because of their sins.
Amen.
I want to tell you, the eye of God is watching you tonight.
That's right.
And if you have sin in your life, you're going to be afraid on this day.
Amen.
You're going to be there with the rich men,
That's
with
right.
the mighty men, the bond men, the free men. And you're going to be looking for a place to hide from the great eye of God. They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains.
Yeah.
And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. From the anger of the Son of God, hide us. Verse 17, for great is the day of his wrath. The great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? I want to tell you a story that goes something like this. One day a man was drowning in a lake of water. The lifeguard swam out and he rescued the man that was drowning. Later, this man that almost drowned went out and committed murder. They caught the murderer, and they brought him before the judge. And that day, the judge issued a sentence. He found the man guilty of murder. But while they were in the courtroom, the judge was looking at the guilty man, and the guilty man was looking at the judge. And the murderer recognized, that judge is the man who saved my life. And when the sentence was given, you must die for your crime. The man asked, how can you do this? You were the man that saved me. And the judge responded, that day I was your savior, but today I am your judge. People think the Lord is so merciful. Surely the Lord wouldn't send me to hell. But I want to tell you, the day of His mercy is coming to an end. And there's coming a day that He's coming back as a judge. And He's going to have great anger. And on that day, the wicked will be destroyed. The Scripture asks, who shall be able to stand? On that great day of His wrath, when God is so angry, when He's bringing this world into judgment, when your sins are uncovered, like I felt when my sister told me, I heard what you said, and oh, the fear in my heart. I was caught on that day.
Yes.
Oh, the fear that will be in your heart when the Lord catches you.
Amen.
In that great day of His wrath. The God that created this earth is also able to destroy it.
Amen.
The God that gave you your life is also able to take away your life.
Amen.
Let us read in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Verse 20, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, what hast thou made us thus? Why hast thou made us thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Verse 22, what if God, willing to shew his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to his destruction? Who are we to question God? Who are we to say, oh Lord, I lived a good life. I'm a good man. I gave 10% of all I possessed. I did mighty works for you, Lord. I cast out devils in your name. Who am I to say all that before Almighty God? He is the one that will decide on who to show mercy and who to show wrath. Lord, help us that we'll not have sin in our lives on that day. Psalms chapter 18, verse 25. Psalms 18 and verse 25. With the merciful, thou wilt shew thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt shew thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt shew thyself pure. And with a froward, thou wilt shew thyself froward. The Lord will deal with us in the same way that we dealt with Him. The same way that we dealt with our fellow man. That's the way God will deal with us in that great judgment day. Oh, God is love. Surely God wouldn't send me to hell. Let us read in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. There followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great nation, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. I want you to picture tonight a great cup. And in this cup, it is becoming more and more full of the wrath of God. The Lord is looking down on this world, and He's seeing the little babies being killed while they are still in their mothers. He's seeing the murders. He's seeing the lies. He's seeing the hatred. He's seeing all these things. And I want to tell you tonight, this cup is filling up. This is the cup of God's anger toward those that are wicked.
Amen.
And each one of us, in our lives, if we are sinners, we have our own cup. And there comes a day that that cup will be full. And it will be too late.
Amen.
If a dog is chained, I don't need to fear that dog, do I?
Amen.
But if the dog is angry and the dog is loose, I better be afraid. I want to tell you, we need to fear the one that has power to do something.
Amen.
Jesus said, don't fear them which can kill the body, but they are not able to destroy the soul. But I tell you, fear him that is able to kill the body and send the soul into hell. That's the one we are to fear tonight. This one that is looking and sees everything about your life, knows every thought that you think, the one that knows those secret sins,
Amen.
He is able to destroy your soul and body in hell. Let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 2 Peter 3 and 7. The heavens and earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly man. The heavens and the earth are being held by God today. But there comes a day, this great day of His anger, that He's no longer going to hold back the fire. And I want to tell you, on that day, this whole world is going to be inflamed in fire. This whole world is going to be destroyed on that day. But today, the fire is being held back by the mercy of God. We have a song here on this island that we love. It says, "Wait a little longer, please, Jesus. There are so many wandering out in sin. Just a little longer, please, Jesus. A few more days to get our loved ones in. Oh Lord, hold back Your fire. Don't let the cup of wrath fill up for my loved one, Lord. My unsaved children, my unsaved wife, my unsaved husband, Lord, have mercy. Hold back the fire for them just a little longer, please, Jesus. Will You bring our loved ones in? Oh God, have mercy tonight. I tell you, there's a young man that went down with the dory out here a few years ago. There were five in the dory, and three of them survived, and two lost their lives in the sea. I spoke to one of the three that lived since I've been here on this island. And I told him, don't wait too late.
Amen.
He hasn't given his heart to the Lord. He's still going up and down. He's still drinking. Oh God, have mercy.
Amen.
Before his cup of wrath fills up.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a little longer, please, Jesus.
Yeah.
Let us get some of these in. Psalms chapter 7 and verse 11. Psalms chapter 7 verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. I think I would be afraid. If I realized there was a great God in heaven, and He's becoming more and more angry with my life, I would be afraid. Let us turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. 2 Peter 3 and 2, "Be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Verse 9, "But the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Aren't you glad tonight the Lord didn't call the world into judgment already?
Amen.
With you not being ready, with you saying, just a little more time in sin. I want to just enjoy drinking a little bit more, gambling, fornication, all the pleasures of sin. Aren't you glad that the Lord has had mercy on you?
Amen.
Not willing that any should perish. But oh, I want to tell you, a great day of anger is coming.
Right.
And verse 10 tells us what that day will be like. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up."
Amen.
I wanted the school children here to understand what is going to happen to the earth. So I made a model of the earth. And I had it right outside this building. And I read these scriptures about the last great day of this world. And I told them there will be wickedness all over the earth. And I poured something all over this model of the earth. It was gasoline. And I had someone up in the chapel and he said, "Time shall be no longer." And I lit that gasoline and it went up in flames. And all those children were looking. And they realized this is what will happen to this earth.
Amen.
There's a day of wrath coming, sinners. I want to warn you tonight to be ready for that day. Do you remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Jacob stole the birthright away from Esau. And Esau hated his brother Jacob. And he said, "When my father dies, I'm going to kill Jacob." And the two brothers were apart for many years. But the day came that Jacob and Esau were going to meet once more. And Jacob was afraid. This is the day of great wrath. This is the day that I may lose my life. He knew he had done his brother wrong. So he began to do something. What are we going to do about this great day of wrath that's coming? It's coming on the earth. You know this world will be destroyed. What are you going to do tonight? Are you just going to continue to sleep in your soul? Well, I want to tell you, Jacob did something. Let us turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32, verse 13. And he lodged there at that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats and 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants. And every drove by themselves and said to his servants, "Pass over before me," and put his space betwixt drove and drove. So Jacob took a large amount of animals that were valuable, and he sent them one group of animals, another group of animals, another group of animals as gifts for his brother that was angry. Let us drop down to verse 17. And he commanded the foremost, saying, "When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou? And whither goest thou? And whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. Behold also, he is behind us." So Jacob was hoping to prepare Esau's heart. He was hoping to turn away that great wrath. And I want to tell you, you need to make preparation tonight. You need to make a preparation to turn away the wrath of God so that He doesn't destroy you in that last day. Well, let's see what happened in chapter 33. Chapter 33 and verse 1. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, Esau came, the man that he feared. This is the day that I've been afraid of. The day has come. I'm having to face the wrong that I did to my brother. And he had 400 men with him. And verse 4, Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, and fell on his neck, and kissed him, and they wept. Oh, thank God for mercy.
Amen.
Thank God that when we make preparation, when we do something to take away the anger of God toward us, then we can embrace our Lord. And there can be a happy reunion in that great day. There were ancient civilizations of Indians and different ancient civilizations around the world that when it was dry and their crops were failing, they were wondering, what should we do? The gods are angry at us. What should we do? So they would offer sacrifices to their gods. Maybe they would kill animals and offer to their gods. Maybe they would kill their own children. Oh, gods, don't be angry at us. Send the rains. Don't let us starve. They were trying to turn away the anger of the gods. I want to tell you tonight, God is angry at your sin. And you need to do something to turn away that anger. Elijah was facing the prophets of Baal. You prepare a sacrifice, and I will prepare a sacrifice. And the God that answers by fire, let Him be the God.
Amen.
And so the prophets of Baal provided their sacrifice. And they prayed to their God, but their God would not answer. And so Elijah began to mock them, cry aloud. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's on a journey. We know he's a God. Cry aloud and let him answer. And so they began to cut themselves and the blood began to come out. Oh, we need to do something to get an answer from our God. I tell you, you need to do something tonight.
Amen.
Don't keep sleeping in sin. Don't say, I will take care of it tomorrow. But I want to tell you, you need to do something to turn away the anger of God. Psalms chapter 2 and verse 12. Psalms chapter 2 verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Kiss the Son of God. Embrace Him. Accept Him. Yes, He is angry at your sins tonight. But while His anger is still a little bit, before that great day of His wrath, before the cup gets full, will you accept Him tonight? Will you embrace Him as your Savior and say, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. I take You into my heart tonight. Oh, we need to do something to turn away the anger. Did you know there are people that are kissing Jesus? They are saying, I accept Him as my Savior. But they are giving Him the kiss of Judas. Judas kissed his Savior. But his heart was not right. There are many people out in the churches today that are saying, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And they're going out to the bars and drinking. And they're cursing. And they are angry at their neighbor. And they hate their brother. They're kissing Jesus with a kiss of Judas.
That's right. Amen.
We are to embrace Him and accept Him into our hearts.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, have you really accepted the Lord tonight? Or have you just given Him the kiss of Judas and said, I am a Christian? What should we do to turn away the anger of God? Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. It is impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. If we are walking with the Lord and then we turn back into the world of sin, the Word of God says we are crucifying Jesus again. What shall we do to turn away the anger of God? Don't crucify Him. Embrace Him. Kiss the Son. Accept Him into your heart. We have a song in our book that says, O soul, be afraid. Thou shalt reckon with God and pass neath the scourge of His wrathful rod. Thy heart, torn with anguish, shall hear at the last. The day of His grace is past. Soul, be afraid tonight. God is angry because of your sins. And there comes a day that you're going to have to give an account to God of your sins. That is that day of great anger. And in that day, your heart will be torn like when I found out it was my sister's eye that saw me. That fear that came into my heart. Oh, there will be a fear in your heart greater than any fear that you have ever known on that day. Oh, you'll be crying out, rocks and mountains cover me from the face of Jesus. Hide me from the wrath of the Lamb. Because the day of His mercy is past. Oh God, have mercy on you tonight. Tonight is your night. There's still mercy tonight. The cup is not full tonight. Won't you come and embrace the Son? Let us stand and have a song. Jesus is here waiting. Waiting. I want to embrace you. I want to take you into my arms. Your life has been hard. Sin is a hard life. You're tired of your sins. Come, I want to hold you in my arms. I want to heal your broken heart. I want to deliver you from rum. I want to deliver you from fornication, from all the things that are binding you. I want to set you free tonight. Come and kiss the Son tonight. Amen. Amen.